So this morning is an expectation-setting sermon. In Italy, where we ministered for 22 years, there's a saying, "Patti chiari, amicizia lunga." I don't know what that would be in Spanish, but clear covenants, long friendships. Or clear agreements, long friendships, right? And so this morning, we will be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we will see God's design for his church. And in that design, it talks about the role of the pastor, and it talks about the role of everyone else. And so we'll look at that in a minute. But if you would pray with me, then we will jump into the sermon. Father God, thank you for your church. We've sung songs about the wonderful work that Jesus did for us on the cross. And that work brought us personally, each one of us who have placed our faith and trust in him for our salvation. Not because of things that we've done, not because of our own merits or anything that we could do. We could never do enough. But because of the work that he accomplished in his death on that cross and his resurrection, we have life eternal in the Son, and we are brought into your family. And at the same time, we're brought into this thing called the church, something that you created for our growth, for our fellowship, for encouragement, for sanctification, and ultimately to be a testimony to the nations of this world. Lord, we desire to be the light of Christ wherever you place us. And so as we live together in this family, sometimes happier times than others, we grow together, and we look forward to the things that you're going to do in our lives, and we look forward to serving your church, so that your church can become all that you want it to be. So I pray this morning that this sermon would contribute to that, and also our time celebrating Mark and his installation as pastor, and Mark and Sharon being here, and the life and the time and the season of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of discussion about empowerment in this world. Maybe in your workplace, in university, in other places, or in your personal reading, you read about empowerment. The problem for most of the authors that are writing about empowerment is that they lack the power. They lack the power. There are a lot of good ideas. There are a lot of valid observations about empowerment. But really, we have the power. We have that missing piece. The Church of Jesus Christ is the ultimate empowerment organization. Today we're going to talk about God's design for the life and longevity of his church. By life, I mean it's alive and growing. The church is an organization. It is structured, but it's also an organism. It's a living, it's something that's living. It's our family. It's where Christ is working in and through us in our fellowship. Longevity means that it's going to still be around for our grandchildren. And so this granddaughter that was born to David and Susie this week, if she were to live in Madrid in the future, we would anticipate that this church and churches like it would be around for her. And she would be able to plug in and grow there in the future. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's God's design for his church. Even in a transitory setting like the International Baptist Convention, like these international churches, where we come and we find a family away from home, outside of our passport nation, and it's the church. It becomes our family for that season and potentially for the rest of our lives. But if you're like me, and well, maybe you're not like me with your slide abilities, but anyway, next slide, please, Luigi. Luigi's easy. I knew a lot of Luigi's in Frank. You grew up in an experience of church where you may not have experienced the maximum potential or seen it modeled in the way that God shows us here in Ephesians chapter 4. Few churches are training grounds for leaders or future servants. Most churches look more like this. Most of us have heard of the Pareto principle. Vilfredo Pareto was an Italian economist in the last century, and he observed in this law of distribution that the majority of wealth was in the hands of fewer people. And so he hypothesized that this was the way that the wealth was supposed to be distributed. It would go from the wealthy, and then it would trickle down eventually to the masses. Now, we can argue how well that's happened or not, but it's uncanny, isn't it, if you look at this principle and if you studied it, how many times this is true in life, that 20% produces 80%. And so in time management, for example, we would say 20% of your results or of your efforts produce 20 or 80% of your results. Did that make any sense at all? 20% of your efforts. So only a fifth of your efforts are where 80% of your results are coming from. And we say this in many other places. And in the local church, often if you go to seminary and you study to become a leader of a church, they say that 20% of the people do 80% of the ministry in the local church. Or usually it's even worse. 10% of the people do 90% of the ministry in the local church. But that's not how God designed his church to be. And so that's the design that I would like to examine this morning. In this passage that we read, we read that Christ came. He came to this earth. We sang about his death and his resurrection. And as he was returning to his Father, he left gifts for his church. And these gifts were in the form of apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And so there are these five roles, or some believe there are four roles. Pastor, teacher may be a similar role. But why? Why did he leave these gifted people for his church? And verse 12 tells us to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ. And so, I don't know about you, but I look at these names, apostles and prophets, evangelists, preachers and teachers. Those sound like pretty impressive credentials. And they were necessary to get the church started in the first century. And so, there were these people. We read about them in the New Testament, right? But we're 2,000 years removed from those times. And the church goes on today. And so we know that if the church had depended only on those people, it never would have been enough. Those initial prophets and apostles and evangelists were neither immortal nor indispensable. Another way we could say this, I saw that your Christmas offering in part is going for this operation, something that the Billy Graham Foundation does. Billy Graham may be known to many of us as one of the greatest evangelists of the last century, recently passed away. But Billy Graham would never be sufficient to reach every person on this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to reach people with the gospel, we need millions of people, millions of disciples of Jesus who are making disciples, who are sharing Christ with coworkers and neighbors and family and friends. And so as impressive as those credentials are, as impressive as those roles are, God tells us that they had a specific purpose. And that purpose illustrates the expectation that we should have of our leaders today in the local church. And that purpose is to equip the saints. To equip the saints. The saints, pretty amazing word. God recognized all those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, who have become saved as saints. He looks at us in terms of what we are, we will be one day in his presence, completely holy and perfect in the presence of our Father one day, but already considered saints, part of his kingdom, part of his church. And so all of us are involved in the work that God is doing now. All of us are in a development phase of our life. And where does that development happen? It happens in the local church. And who is it that develops us? It's our leaders. And I don't know about you, but maybe for most of your life, you haven't thought of your leaders that way. I know for me, growing up in a local church, an old church, about 200 years old, I didn't look at my pastor as the one who would equip me. I thought we hired the pastor to do the ministry, right? I thought, and so... What the observation here is that the leaders really are here to equip all of us to do the ministry. Mark John is here. He's been honest about his age and the amount of time that he can give you, right? If you had brought in a younger pastor, maybe you would have 30 or 40 years ahead of you with this pastor. But regardless, every pastor is an interim pastor. No one lives forever. Those initial apostles and prophets and evangelists, they're long gone. And so it's good for us to recognize that our leaders in the local church are here not to do the ministry for us, but to equip all of us so that we can do the ministry. And so preparation is part of God's design for his local church. For each local church and for each of us in the local church. And we should expect that in the local church we can grow. We can grow toward that potential that God has placed in us. And we can experience more and more things that we've never experienced before. We can step into areas of service that we haven't done before. And we can be equipped for that service. And so if preparation is part of God's design, then the other side of the coin is participation. If every pastor is an interim pastor, then we could also say every member is a minister. Often we call our pastor the minister, and that's not wrong, but the reality is we're all ministers. We're all ministers if we're part of God's church. Every member is a minister. Paul goes on to say in this epistle that is a very good illustration of all that the church is and can be, that these leaders were given to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ. And so who's responsible for the growth of the church? Mark John, that's why you hired him, right? We're going to tell him that in a few minutes in his installation. He's responsible. No, we're all responsible. We're all responsible for the growth of the church. God uses each one of us. He gifts each one of us. The empowerment that we have in the church is the presence of his Spirit in our lives. We've been given the ability to obey God because God came to live within us. And he made us pleasing to himself. And then he invites us. He invites us as his people. Things we know. We know who we are. We know what he's done. And yet he invites us again to step up to all that he sees. All that vision that he has for us. And that's the participation that we can expect in the local church. We all have different roles, but we have a shared responsibility. You might say that some coach, but we all play, right? I think you have a good team here in Madrid, right? You understand these kinds of analogies. Yeah, you have a couple teams, right? Probably division in the church over that. I don't know, right? So, and that's the blessing. You are part of a family of 64 international English-speaking churches in 25 different nations. That's about 10,000 people that gather on any weekend to worship the Lord in the International Baptist Convention. It's only 1% of the planet. Only 1% of the population But 75% of the countries in the world are present in our churches, or more. So think about all the impact that we could have for Jesus Christ on this globe if we were all to participate, to embrace God's vision for us, to step up and to be equipped to become all that God wants us to be in each and every local church and see God do his amazing work through us. That's why we're here. And so that's God's design for his church. It's an intentional church. It's a relational church. It's an equipping church. And in an equipping church, we discover talent, and then we develop that talent, and we deploy that talent. Another way that this could work out, I like this, I think this came from a military context, because in a lot of military situations, you have people deployed for a short amount of time. And so when they come in, you have to get them going right away, knowing that they're on a ticking, or their calendar, you know, they're only going to be there a year or two. And so they talk about crawling, walking, and running. It's similar to the way that life happens, right? Like Dave and Susie's granddaughter, she won't be running in the next few weeks unless she's extraordinary, and she probably is, but I assume she's going to be crawling, and then she'll be walking, and her mother will be pulling her hair out. Where'd she go now, right? Pretty soon she'll be running, and that's how it is with all of us. And that's a good illustration of how it should be in the local church. As we come in to the local church, we should be given opportunities to begin to serve, to begin to discover our gifts, to begin to find our place. Pretty soon we'll be walking. Before we know it, we'll be running. And then in these contexts, maybe we'll be leaving, moving on to another church. And that's a sad part of our reality. We get close to each other, and then we have to say goodbye. But if at any given moment there were people that were crawling, walking, and running, we would always have plenty of people engaged in service, serving in the local church. And the church would be exploding with ministry, meeting the needs of the community, bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's God's design for his church. And the result is maturity. It's a maturity individually, but really corporately. Paul says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person. And this isn't talking about an individual. This is talking about corporately mature, attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. And so that's God's desire for us, that we fulfill our potential, that we reach maturity, that we are empowered to do all that he wants us to do in this life. And as we do that, we build up his church. And I don't know about you, but there are few greater privileges in this life than to see people's lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and know that we had a part in that. And that's the potential that we have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So how does this work? We used to have this saying in Naples, you can give away the caramella, but you can't get it back. The caramella was like a lollipop. And usually we were talking about our leaders. You can give away a title and a role, but then you can't give it back. Get it back, right? So be careful. Be careful when you give somebody a role. And many of our believers were first-generation believers. They had come to the Lord, and they were finding out all that meant, and then they were figuring out what the local church was. All the ministries that we had there were based on our ability to equip people to run those ministries. And so we would often talk about this. You know, what do? Do you wait until they prove that they're worthy of the title before you give them the title? Or do you give them the title and then there will be some growing pains But eventually, they'll grow into that title. And you can tell by my illustration, it's not one or the other. Sometimes we would say we throw people in the deep end and they learn to swim, right? Sometimes we give people responsibility that's greater than their experience up until now or their preparation. And it challenges their growth. Sometimes we say, well, we need to see more, particularly in your character, because probably your character is not going to change. So we need to make sure you have the right character. We can train you in a lot of things. We can give you more knowledge and more skill if the character is right. And so that's how this works. We invite people in, give them roles to play. How many times have we stepped into something and discovered later, ooh, I wasn't ready for that? They gave me a lot more trust than I deserved. But that's what God does all the time. God gives us far more trust than we deserve. Why does he do that? Because he knows what he's doing in us. Because he's the one that's accomplishing things through us. And when that happens, he's the one who gets the glory. And so that's God's design for his church. It has multi-generational focus. It's not just meant to be here for us. It's meant to be here for our children and our grandchildren. It has widespread participation. It isn't 10% doing 90% of the ministry. It's more and more and more people stepping up, using their gifts for the sake of their local church as God leads them and being equipped. And it's all about progress. As each one of us progress, God's church progresses. And that's God's design for each one of us and for his church. I like to say his work always outlasts us, but it never overlooks us. That is the great privilege that we have. God wants to do his work, and he will do his work. We can count on his work. We can count on his promises. He will accomplish all the things that he intends to do. And yet, he involves you and me in those plans. He gives us the privilege of being part of those plans. And so he doesn't overlook us. He invites us in, and he puts us in a place where we can grow. And as we grow, we can see fruit out of our lives for the glory of Christ. And so what can we do today? What can each one of us do today? There are always three parts in the equation. There's God's part, there's their part, and there's my part. How much can you control their part? How much can you and I control someone else's part? Can't control their part. How much do you and I control God's part? We don't control that either. The good thing is he's 100% faithful. He'll do his part. So what's left? My part. Simply do my part. That's all God's asking me to do. And so hopefully today, God will encourage you and show you what your part is. As we install Mark John as your pastor, hopefully he will find a team of people that are willing to step up, and there will be a bench that's filled with players that are ready to go on to the playing field. And the church will thrive, and God will use this church to touch more and more lives in Madrid and in all of the nations and families that we represent here this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your design for the church. And thank you that you give each one of us a part in that design. We pray for Mark, John, and Sharon as they get started. Thank you for this warm and welcoming family that they've been able to step into. Thank you for all of the ministry that takes place inside of these walls and outside of these walls in the community each week. Thank you for the foundation that they are able to build upon, for the ministry of those who have come before. Thank you for those that are here in this season who will join them in the ministry. And Lord, as the leaders of this church look forward to equipping more and more people to join in your work, I pray that you will give them wisdom and discernment and your blessing, and much effectiveness in all that they do as they respond in obedience to your calling. In Jesus' name, amen.